Teresa spoke that shifting, you know, felt like something had shifted, and I'd been feeling like it really, maybe didn't know that's what it was, you know, but God, I believe 2023 is going to be, you know, things are going to happen. These things happened in my life this year that I've been believing God for a long time. And God spoke to me first of the year, you know, last year, that this year would be a year that things that we've been believing God for a long time would come to pass. And a lot of us seen that thing, those things happen. Because when the word of the Lord is coming, it's not man's words. Paul said, I come not in words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. You know, and when a word comes forth, you know, whether it's the Bible word or it's a word that God is speaking, if we lay hold of that, there's power in that word to bring a demonstration in our life, a manifestation of God in our life. And I was thinking about, how many knows that everyone that gets born again has a calling from the Lord? Now, you know, whether it's fivefold or, you know, God will reveal that to that individual as they walk with the Lord. You know, I mean, just like my own life, I didn't know what I was called to do other than I'm called to preach. You know, and I mean, I'd always heard, you know, when you feel like you're called, go and announce your calling. You know, and I never did get into that drift, you know, that wave of going and announce your calling, you know, I really didn't. But what they meant was, you know, people would tell me, I was out and they'd say, well, you got to announce your calling before it really going to happen. And I'm like, well, if God said it, well, then whether I announce it or not, it's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. But, you know, the Bible says the traditions of men makes the word of God none effect. The traditions of men, men's way of doing, men's set way of doing, you know, makes the word of God none effect. Now, I didn't really know all of that. But, you know, I thought, no, I'm going to tell my pastor, you know, that I feel like I'm called to preach, you know. I hadn't been saved, Johnny, but 3 months, maybe four. Maybe not that long when I told him. And see, what I'm talking about, I'm not just telling you my story, because if you just read into that Scotty story, ooh, yes, Jesus, yes, you're missing the whole point. Because the Bible says for me and you to follow after those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. That's what we've been doing ever since we've been born again. If you go to Hebrews 11:1 and you begin to read down through there, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it says, by faith, the earth was formed. It was without void. By faith, Abraham, these are patriarchs that through their faith in God yet gained a pathway that me and you can clearly see in the Bible of God's ways. So when somebody really is giving you testimony and giving, and they're not doing it out of a braggadocious spirit, having a braggadocious spirit's not God anyways. It's not. Well, I pastored for 21 years, so what? So what? How come I'm pastoring? It was God, right? That's what I'm saying. So we need to be telling how and what God does in our life everywhere, like Johnny was talking about. You might not be in the fivefold ministry, but you are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I find in my family members a lot of times, you know, that not going to church, I have opportunities. Won't y'all come to church? Y'all, you know, get your family. Well, I feel a little embarrassed with them because they don't believe in God at all. Jesus said, don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Don't be timid. You're not trying to shove nothing on them. You're trying to give them life. If you've experienced the Lord and somebody in your family lost, you want them. If you really believe heaven is real and hell is real, then you don't want to not tell them about the Lord Jesus, because no matter how good they are and how good merits they have, see, now that's your calling. You're not called to be. Jesus come and he stirred the things up. I mean, he stirred the scribes and the Pharisees and the, you know, I mean, he stirred them up. He didn't mean to stir them up. When he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When he forgives sins. Sometimes when we say Jesus is the way, you know, keep your Jesus to yourself. Well, I just can't. I cannot. See, we're commissioned by the Lord. See, we've been called not with a natural calling. I mean, this that's on the inside of me and you is not natural. Christ is not natural. He's supernatural. And it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, when I went to my pastor and I told him, I don't remember how long it was or whatever the case may be, I didn't know why I was even telling him, Johnny. I just needed to tell him that I feel like I'm called. And I really did feel like I'm called. I hadn't been around a bunch of preachers. I mean, it's on the inside of me I'm called to preach. I told Teresa on the way to church, see, look, you know on the inside. You know if you're saved or not. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with your spirit that you are the Son of God. I wasn't sure one time, so I got down in front of the TV and made sure. If you ain't sure, you ain't probably. Hallelujah. Now see, you're like, well, you know, you're always saying it. I'm called to say it. I'm called to preach it. How can they hear without he sends a preacher? Right? How can they preach unless they're sent? You've been called. And just like Teresa said, this is an apostolic church. People said, I wouldn't brag on your church. I'm not bragging on this church. This is an apostolic church. We've been ordained and we've been set here by the Lord. The Holy Spirit spoke to me to come here and he started to work here. And we are called. We're called to build ministry. We're called to go into the world. I'm not concerned about other churches and what they're called to do. I'm not concerned how they do it. They need to be led. They need to walk with God. They need to come out. I was thinking about when I did that, when I told him that, then the first thing that he did, he takes me to the jail. And he goes a couple of times and that's all he went with me. And I mean for 3 or 4 years, however long that ministry, I stayed at church. I stayed faithful to the call there. I stayed faithful, you know. I didn't let ministry everywhere else get in the way. And as God began to raise me up and the anointing on me, people wanted me at their church. They wanted me to start churches. And I endeavored to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I would not abandon my ministry that God had put me in, although I was called out as an evangelist. Well, he carries me to the jail. Man, I mean, I don't even know nothing. So I'm going to church, and I'm hearing the sermons, and I'm going back, and I'm preaching Brad's sermons. And so I kind of feel guilty, and I go back. I'm telling you this for a reason. I didn't have to know how. I had somebody over me. God was giving me through them. Although I didn't know anything, giving me what I needed, and I was getting people saved, and I started pastoring them without even knowing it at the jail every week. Their lives were being changed. They were being touched. Hallelujah. They were gaining hope. They were gaining vision of coming out of there and never going back to jail again. Why? Because the anointing, you're a move of God. You're a move of God. We are a move of God. Hallelujah. And so it began, you know, when I thought about it, I mean, you know, I thought about it after a few years, you know, God opened more doors. I had two jail ministries up there. And I thought about the scripture in Proverbs where it says your gift will make room for you and take you before great men. Now, God, back then, I was reading that. The only reason I was reading that is because I heard this preacher. He said, you want God's wisdom? I thought, man, I want God's wisdom. He said the Proverbs, he said, you can get 31 days. He said, you can read a chapter every day in Proverbs, and you can gain God's wisdom. And the Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And so I'm like, well, I need all that. So I wouldn't understand nothing I'm reading in Proverbs and chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I'm not getting nothing out of there till I get down to that scripture where it says that the gift of God will make room for us. And I got to that, and all of a sudden I knew on the inside, I thought I won't never have to open doors and make it happen. I won't never, I thought. I mean, that was just the impression that I had. Well, see, God had the preacher to say, if you want God's wisdom, read Proverbs every day, and you can read it. So I'm just doing that. I don't even have no clue that it's in that Proverbs. I ain't never read Proverbs. Give me that 2 Timothy 1, please, Beth. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Be there not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. He said, according to the power of God. We're called to affliction. I'm sorry. I mean, I gotta tell you the truth, man. I mean, it's just like this right here, you know. I asked Jeffrey, I said, because, I mean, I believe God's going to do more ministry in this church next year. And so I thought about, and so I talked to Jeffrey just a little bit about the nursing home, you know, down there and all of that good stuff. But you know what? I know that if I birth that ministry, that there's going to be affliction on me. If you decide you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to have the enemy going to come against you every way he can think of to get you not to walk with Jesus. If you are going to dedicate yourself to walk in love, then you're going to be met by your adversary that is a destroyer of love. And he is going to counterattack. I got under warning yesterday, and my barn's built. My top's on it. And I got every row of hay. I'm going to put sides and all that good stuff on it. But I got all my hay in there, and it's bigger and better. Like I said, I wouldn't quit. Now, when it was flattened, I could have quit, Johnny. I could have stopped right there and I could have just laid down. But there's something on the inside of you that adversity and affliction, if you're walking with the Lord, will not let you lay down and surrender. It just won't do it. Your calling won't let you. Well, I'm not the father. No, your calling. Your family needs to see you walk with God and not fold under adversity and stand strong against affliction. Stand strong against the enemy. And don't need to see you complaining when things are not going and seemingly in your favor. You trust God. You trust God to bring you out. You turn to that inward man and you draw out of the wells of salvation. That's your calling. You're not called to your own strength. You're not called to save yourself. You're not called to figure out the kingdom. You're not called to figure out how to do ministry. You are called to walk in obedience to the Lord, and he will teach you how to do the ministry that he's called you into. He will open the doors that needs opened. They opened my whole life as a Christian. They opened. The doors that I opened, Johnny, for myself, I did it. I made things happen at times. They were awful. they were like Johnny said, you know, I don't know what to say, son. I get up there, and sometime when I do it myself, it's not good. We understand that. Anybody that's ever done anything for the Lord, understand exactly what you're talking about. Because when you're in Him and you're moving in Him and you're in His strength and you're trusting Him, you don't know what you're going to say. You know, you're right then, you are putting your confidence in Him that is able to do abundantly above. And it says, be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me of His speaking, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a what? Holy calling. He saved you, and He's called you with a supernatural calling. A calling not orchestrated by man. A calling that was sent by the Spirit to draw me and you, and we accepted this holy calling. That holy calling is from the Lord. We every one of us has. Now I'm just a Christian. You're a baby. That's okay. When Aiden goes back there and he starts whining, I say, are you a little girl?
No, I'm not a little girl. I'm not.
Well, you're acting like a little candy girl. You're crying. Boys don't do that. Do you need a diaper? I asked Aubrey this morning, I said, do you still need a diaper? She said it. Papa, no, I don't need a diaper. I said, okay, you're growing up then. That's what's happening. You're growing up. And you quit all of that needing to die. See, just like Tree said, I mean, it's in us. We're pressed by the Spirit to develop this body, to help you, to be with you, to walk with you, to get in the thick and thin with you, in prayer, standing in faith with you, that no weapons formed against you will prosper. And you know what, praise God, you got to yoke yourself to that same fight. Whether it's sickness, disease, whether it is your marriage, whether it is ministry. I mean, I had somebody to tell me, you know, though I was trying to develop them here, you know, give them opportunity. See, I don't tell, if I'm asking you to do something, I'm not going to walk up and make you feel stupid. Well, man, I mean, I know you just started and you don't know nothing. You've been raised in some way, a weird thing. I don't know, man, but I feel something's about you, man. I don't want you to feel stupid, but you are. I mean, you just don't want to do that kind of stuff. Or walk up, you know, Monty, I know you was in it all your life, but you don't believe like me. I knew he didn't. How did I know? By the way he was talking. Oh God. I mean, I heard him one time when he was gonna believe him for his house, and all of it was falling through, and he said, I can tell you I could have had that, but them bunch of buzzards out there got that one. I'm like, what? I mean, he was just, it seemed like to Monty at that time, every time I go to pursue, somebody gets ahead of us and gets our house. So he said, a bunch of buzzards. Well, you know what that told me? Thinking. And I thought, I got to help him come on up higher where he's up here with the eagles. We're not buzzards. We're eagle flyer. We're watching. We let the wind take us higher. Now I'm not down in Monty. I'm where I'm at. I need some mentorship over me. I can learn some stuff myself, although I've been in it quite a few years, pray God. I mean, I'm not through being developed. I believe that I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I believe if I'm becoming more like God, then I've got a long way to go, Granny. So that gives me courage and hope that as long as I will walk with Him and follow Him, and I have to trust Him and I have to believe Him, you have to trust Him and you have to believe Him to develop you into who you may not even know who God wants you to be. You may not know anything about what God wants you to do. My sister diagnosed with cancer, done whipped it one time, went back, and you know, and they and in the fourth stage or whatever, blah, 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 you know. And she said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do a Bible study out there and then this. I said, well, what are you waiting on? Had somebody to call me, well, I just don't feel like I can minister this Sunday. I'm going through a little bit of trouble in my marriage. I said, are you serious? Are you serious? What are you going to do? Wait till your marriage is straightened out before you preach? You told me you're called to preach. See, this is why they say it's hard. But now, I'm not saying that in a mean way. I mean, I got to go down there, and the Lord tells me, he says, I want you to go on the streets and preach the gospel. And I was like, ooh, yeah. And I'm like, how am I going to do it? I mean, I was all excited and I was trying to figure it out, Johnny. Then I went to all the evangelists and stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. And I'm asking them. They're like, well, we don't really know. And I said, well, do you got to have license and all that? I mean, to go on the, we don't really know. I mean, and I'm like, what are y'all? Y'all telling me I was called to preach. Now what do I do? We don't really know. And I'm like, Jesus. So I think, well, bless God. I'm just going to have to acknowledge the Lord in this. He's the one. Now, that's what you got to do. Right there, what I just said is what me and you have got to do. When we don't know. When people don't know. Well, I go to the police station. Pull in there, walked in there, and I said, hey. I said, the Lord has told me to go on the streets down here and preach the gospel. They're like, you, Weston? They're like, you? Oh, yeah? I said, yeah. I said, the only thing I need to know out of you is do I need to get a permit or license? That's all I need to know. Now, I'm not asking them cops that tore my truck apart and hunted drugs, did it, left it all apart out in the streets, and if I had a gun, I'd have shot them. Put my truck back together. You gonna tear it apart? These are some of the same people. But I done read the scripture in there and heard a preacher preach, and he said, when God calls you, he said, Paul said, don't confer with flesh and blood. Don't go to everybody else to make it happen for you. Go to the one that is called. And one of the things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to, if you are going to make it in this Christianity, if you are going to make it in this ungodly world and stand strong, you are going to have to put God's word first place and final authority in everything you do. That means when your kids are acting up, don't start talking that negative stuff. Get on it out there. Go blow some leaves and come out of your mouth with your authority. You ain't got to be on that person. Just let it come out of your mouth. You let what God's word said. That's what I'm talking about. Letting God's word be not based on what you are seeing and feeling. Well, you know what? I went to them, they said, you don't have to have one. Why? I've been called with a holy calling. A calling that is pushing me to the streets. A calling that is pushing me to be like Jesus. A calling that is pushing me to love my wife. Is Christ so loved the church? A calling. We've been called with a holy calling. Up there, building that barn, had one boy up on top and the other one up in a man thing. And he asked me a question. Brother Scotty, he's been asking me questions for about an hour and a half. And that's fine, you know. And the anointing came up. I felt it rise up on the inside of me. And I said, y'all hold on a minute. Let me get everybody a Coke. I'll hold up. So I go get a Coke. Now I'm in a hurry, Johnny. I didn't get started till 9 o'clock. It's raining. I'm believing God for the rain to get on out. You can't get on that metal. It's muddy, man. I mean, you know, and all of that. But I'm believing God yesterday that my roof will be on and complete. And bless God, we did it. But I took time. That holy calling on the inside. People will draw stuff from you. You know the difference. When you feel that on the inside or you feel like, man, I'm going to shoot everybody around here, there's a difference. Right? You feel like, man, you know, this is just the devil trying to rob me, or on the inside, this is God pulling on me. You know the difference. Whether you're in the grocery store or whether you're in your truck going out, God wouldn't let you pick him up in that company truck because he won't break the rules. He won't. He wouldn't. That's why he never told Monty, stop this time. He won't. But now Monty's in his own time. Here comes some affliction of the gospel. He's married to April. God. April needs me to hurry home. And here comes that affliction, man. Oh, he's going the other way. And then Monty, there ain't too many houses down here. That's at mine. Ain't too many houses. Can't be far. He's thinking maybe two blocks. I'll take him home. Then finds out he's 20 minutes. He's all the way down at Pell City. Now here is that challenge of that holy calling to he who saves his life will lose it. But he who loses it for my sake and the gospel shall find it. And so God speaks to Monty. I have no doubt. The guy gets in, he says, praise Jesus. I mean, this dude's walking down the road. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I know I'm not going to get there. He didn't have time. Monty said he didn't have time to get there before that courthouse closed. But he's believing God, and he's marching against what he thinks. And then God sends a ride. And he made it down there. And then his wrong thinking, Monty got to help him a little. A little bit. Yeah. Got to help him a little bit. See, help that soldier on his way. Praise God. See, that. What if Monty was not in church? Monty would be down there, I'm picking him up. Bless God, they're going to want to ride. They're going the wrong way. He would not go pick that guy up. He would not. Probably his wife would kill him. I'm talking about without God. But see, the holy calling in me and you calls us out to do what the world won't do. He says we've been called with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Go ahead, Ben. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For thee which calls I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, back yonder I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you gave me the calling. And now, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I just yield to you. I give it to you, God. Use me, God. Take me into all the world if that's what you want to do, God. Take me. Now, when I first started out, I thought, man, if he does that, man, I mean, he's liable to put me over in India or somewhere, and I'm almost there. But, you know, while he was opening these doors to minister the gospel, he was using regular, everyday life to mold me like Jesus. He was using had somebody come to me, more than one, and they would say, well, you're called into the ministry. You can't work a secular job and do ministry the right way. And so I'm reading in the Bible, and I found out Paul worked with his own hands. That where he wouldn't be a burden to the churches. Tent maker. Did you know Jesus was a carpenter? And so I thought, it feels good to my mind to quit my job, and I did, Johnny, and we got hungry, man. We got hungry. Because I'm like, well, everybody's saying, you know, quit your job and God will supply all of your needs. I mean, you can quote those scriptures and be out of the will of God. You can. I don't care what anybody says. You can be quoting scriptures and be out of the will of God. I mean, here Jonah is. God says, go over to Nineveh. He didn't want them saved. He was upset with them in Nineveh. He was upset. And God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. God loved those Nineveh people. God wanted to save them. He wanted to redeem them. And that's why we go. You know, I used to feel like, man, I lay my life down for people and they don't even acknowledge it. I fast for days and pray and read the Bible. And see, that's when it's personal to you. Somebody should acknowledge that you do all of this stuff. But when you get past that you're doing this from the Lord, now you've hit that high calling mark. Now you're in that high calling mark. You're doing this because of that holy calling that we just talked about. Well, the anointing came on me, and I began to tell of some of the things that I preached here. But, I mean, it's just step by step, you know, some things, and I shared some stories with them. Won't go into it because that's not my message, you know. I told them, I said, you know, I said, because God has called each one of us, I said, we are anointed to teach people how to prosper. I said, anybody comes down and gets under my ministry that the Lord is leading in them there, I said, their marriage will prosper, their finances will prosper, their lives will prosper. I said, because of the apostolic anointing on my life, it's Jesus. And on this ministry, you've got it on you. Just like Johnny, he says, I believe we're all called. I've been in churches where I believe everybody ain't called. You don't feel it. They take over the services. They run down the services where you ain't got time to preach. And that's why I was so dogmatic when I come here. I'm like two, three songs and that's it. If you're really led, do another one. If you are really led. Because I'm like, I'll kill the music. Nothing wrong with music. It's all in the Bible. But that word is going to be first place here. I've had people want to hang Jesus up in here, and I'm like, what color are you going to get? You're not going to tear a church apart with a black Jesus and a white Jesus and an Indian Jesus and a Hispanic Jesus. Not going to happen. So which Jesus do we get? I said, no. See, and they say, well, Scotty's a little overboard. I'm right. He's a spirit. He's not white, black. He's not none of that. Everybody's like, well, let's put a Christmas tree in the sanctuary. I said, they wasn't none in the sanctuary in the wilderness. They didn't celebrate Christmas in the church. We're not putting a Christmas tree in the church. That's going to distract them people. Them kids are going to be tempted to steal them, the gifts. Their mind's going to be on everything but Jesus in that seed. Well, I've had people, Scotty won't let you put nothing in the sanctuary. No, we want our attention on naked walls and Jesus. Let's decorate the whole perimeter out there. Light it up, baby. But in here, we're going to keep this separated. We're going to keep this in a place to where we come in and the anointing is here and we leave and get victories in our marriages with our kids. I'm convinced if I hadn't stood on the word of God that Travis would have went and sowed his oats like the church taught me. Sowed his oats. Told that guy, I said, my son ain't got no wild oats. I said, my son ain't got no wild oats. I've delivered him from that since he was 2 years old. I said, and I have the rod of correction that will get them wild oats off of him, not out of him, because they are not in him. Well, I wouldn't bite that. I just wouldn't take that. And so I'm out there backpack blowing. It ain't the apostolic that does that in your life, friend. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing to be a father and a mother and stand under that anointing. And I mean stand and bring it out of your mouth, although it looks contrary to what you are facing, what it looks like. I mean, Teresa comes to me, one of us, 15, I think.
I'm telling you right now, one of us has got to go.
I'm telling you, man. You know,
one of us has got to go. I'm not going to blah, blah, blah. I don't know what all it was. It's just because he wouldn't get up and go pick sticks up, I think, outside, man.
You know. I'm like, calm down, calm down. I said, we're not going to have to do that. And so I go out and I said, oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you, Lord. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I bind irritation. I bind lying spirits that would try to come to Travis and to Teresa, praise God. I got in there. That's not an apostolic anointing. That is the anointed Jesus. You've been given power over all the power of the enemy. You've been given power to release the anointing in your family. But if you're all confused and you're all wishy-washy and double-minded, like James says, he said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you're all of that because you ain't been taught the Word of God, you ain't got in the Word of God and fasted and meditated on it and wanted truth and stand in truth, then you are going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the slight craftiness of men wherein they lay thereby to receive. I'm persuaded, aren't you? I believe we're going to do some street ministry. I remember back, you know, and whenever I ministered or whatever the case might have been, and people begin to notice, they come on the streets or drive by, or some of the big dogs in the big churches, they wouldn't come over there to Little Weston preaching on the street. And that's fine. They just didn't know Jesus was there. They go into church and he ain't with them. Because they're up there deacons and driving their big cars and got money. And when their life fell apart, they drove in there to this little Weston. And they give me offerings to pray for them then. You know why? Because they'd watched for over a year and seen God do miracles on the streets and at the workplaces. They seen God deliver me. See, this is what I'm saying. That's not just the apostolic ministry working. That's Jesus doing the supernatural in your natural life when you really trust Him. I believe that faith has been so watered down. Not this church. We see miracles. People send us money out of other states and everything else, man. I mean, you know. Standing back there and I'm putting this sound system come from a gospel group. And they went through divorce or whatever and his granddad sold it to us. Sold us the sound system. All them, you know. But I'm back there and I'm putting this drop ceiling up. I may have had all, half of the rail run or something. I don't know. It took a long time by myself pretty much. I mean, people worked and stuff. And so I'm back there in that corner. Well, here this guy comes. And he's, hey, Brother Scotty. I said, yeah, come on in. I said, I'm back in here. And I'm climbing it down that ladder, you know, fixing that, whatever I'm doing. And he said, hey, let me ask you something. I said, yeah, go ahead, Bill. He said, how much money have y'all borrowed? I said, we haven't borrowed none. He said, y'all ain't borrowed no money? I said, no, I feel like if God can't build this church without borrowing, he don't need it. Well, how many people y'all got? I said, well, we had 70. We're down about 3 now. Down about 3? Where y'all getting all this money? I said, by faith. He said, by faith? He didn't understand faith. Been in church all his life. He said, by faith, you know, and I could see the look on his face, you know. He was talking about by faith. I said, well, let me just explain it to you. God told me to put a ceiling in here. I said, I told God I would never borrow no money and put this church in no financial burden at all. I said, so God wants me to put a ceiling in here. I said, he's going to have to get it for me because I'm not paying for it. I said, if he wants a ceiling, I said, now, So based on what I just said, I said, I'm having faith in God that yours and my Bible says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. I'll quote the scripture. I said, now, I'm putting it up right now, and faith got it. See, this is not a radical church here. This is a normal church with an apostolic anointing. When you go home, you are a, if you are believing God and you are seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, that just makes you operating supernatural Christian. It don't take an apostolic anointing for that. Just like they pulled up, I'm in there in the truck, you know, and these guys, I mean, I'd sniff cocaine with them. We told them, sheetrock, and you need some cocaine, I think, at that time. Dude, that 5.8, and they send us down there to River Chase, and we're toting that fire-rated 5.8 sheetrock. Son, that heavy. Heavy, man. And they don't want you to break it and tote two sheets out. Put that in there, they want you to pull the two sheets off and then scatter it, you know. It's hard work. But I've got born again, and I'm like, I'm not doing more cocaine. Like, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not smoking more marijuana. I'm just not going to do it. I've made my mind up. These two dudes gets in the truck, and they had done got in the truck, and they had three lines of cocaine, and handed me the straw. And I looked down there, and I thought, man. It was a temptation now. You know, good old line of cocaine. Whew! If you ain't never done no cocaine, got high on it, you know what I'm talking about. Don't ever do it. It's stupid. But my flesh liked it. And so I told them, I said, no. I said, I'm born again. I got saved. I said, I got saved and everything. I said, no, I just don't believe I'm going to do any more cocaine. Like that. And they said, oh, come on, man. You know, do your line of cocaine. We ain't going to tell nobody. They probably wouldn't have. And I said, well, look, Jesus, he's in here with us. He is. They looking around for Jesus. They looking around for Jesus. He's in here, where's he at? They probably thinking, Scotty done Fruit Loop, man. And they did think of the Fruit Loop, some of them. But you know what? They seen miracles happening in my life. See, God would demonstrate because you're believing him, and it'll be a struggle to you to believe him. See, you'll be struggling with that affliction of the gospel. That's a struggle. When it looks like you're going to be defeated and you decide to believe God in spite of, that's the struggle. You know, that's the struggle of part of the affliction of the gospel. But you know what? Then the gospel came in and then light come. Hallelujah. Give me that next one, Beth, wherever it's at. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, the same also that ascended far up, far above all heavens, that all might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, go ahead, Beth, for the perfecting of the saints. Did you hear that? For the maturing. You need them. I need them. I needed them. I'd go in, and Tracy was talking about this the other day, and I went in, and she said, I got your first sermon. You want to hear it? I said, I guess. First sermon ever preached, 1990, whatever it was. Yeah, it was in a church. Yeah, but I mean, at my church. First sermon ever preached at my church. I listened to it about 30, 40 minutes, and I'm thinking, I'm preaching the same thing now. But I was preaching then. So, Monty, you're going to get the same thing for the next 30 years. Well, Bible's same, ain't it? See, we hear it, we get it, we preach it, you hear it, you get it, you start walking, and 15 years, 20 years later, you're still walking what you heard back 13, 15 years ago. You're just walking it out. Yeah, it means the same thing. Yeah. So I told her, I said, I got to go cut it off, you know. And so then she says, well, I got this other one. It's a prophecy. Prophesied to me, I guess it was in the 90s. Wasn't too long after I said, Bill Barrio. But while I'm saying this, and I was thinking about this morning, I thought, God, you have spoke things to people in that church. You've spoke things, not just in this church. We're all over the world. The Bible says, Paul said, stir up those things by laying your hands on the things that God has spoken to you by prophecy and different things. See, we can stir up the thing. And so I say, yeah, let's listen to that. So she starts listening to it. And we start listening to it. And in here, the minute that it come on, I felt the same way that I felt back then. I felt the same spirit, the same thing. It was bearing witness with what was already in me back yonder. And the difference between then and now, I am and I am doing and I am in what he was prophesying back yonder 20-something years ago. I mean, he's prophesying that, and I mean, I'm feeling it on the inside, you know, and I'm like, oh, glory to God, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be a major blessing. I'm going to, you know, I went out from there, and I thought, God is already, everybody, oh, man, he's just after money. No, I'm not. God said it on the inside after God. God said it. God spoke it in his word. I'm reading the Bible, and I felt that it was for me. And then he prophesied it. So I'm prophesying to you. You are under that same apostolic anointing because you are connected with your heart to do the will of God. And God has sent you here, and God's hooked you up, praise God. And I'm telling you that God will lead you in that Bible if you'll read it and meditate on it, and he'll bring prosperity up on the inside of you for your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, your finances, your ministry. I mean, I'm 60. You're just getting started. 60? Come on, man. I'm nearly there. I ain't gonna feel 60. I don't know what it feels like. Don't tell me. I believe I've got an anointing for 55, and I've got an anointing for 60. I've got an anointing for 80 and 90. The Bible says I'm promised 120 years, so I'm not gonna let my body get me down till then. Right? That anointing will do it for you. So I want to encourage you, you have a calling. You are called. He said that here that he give fivefold ministry for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of faith. He brings up faith here. Faith is very essential to your victory. It is critical to your victory with your kids. You know what? Travis, he did. He got married. And I never would say, well, he's sowing his oats. He's sowing his wild oats. I never spoke wild oats over my boy what one time in his entire life. I would not let that garbage come out of my mouth because 99.9% of the church believed it and experienced it. That's when I determined, bless God, that I'm going to believe that Bible, not based on the church, not based on the church members. I'm going to believe that Bible based on what it says. Not based on what people experience, what it looks like. Well, my kid's dead and yours surely will. Well, don't prophesy that over somebody. You leave them alone. Guy told me one time, he said, well, you're preaching that. I mean, it looks bad on me because my kids and blah, blah. I said, oh, shut that up. I said, the thing about it is they make their own decisions when they leave home. I said, but a lot of the way their decisions are is what we put in them while they are at home. I said, there ain't no need in crying over spilt milk. I said, don't get upset with me because I'm preaching to a generation that's coming up that needs to know these things so they don't experience loss like me and you did. I got done over there with, I got under the anointing, just stopped everything, started giving my testimony, praise God. And that one guy, he's standing up there in that basket, and he turned around and he said, "Good Lord," he said, "I'm about to jump out of here and shout." I said, "That's not you, my friend." I said, "That's because I'm standing here telling you what kind of hog mess I was in at 27 years old and what kind of power I'm standing in now." I said, "I carried you through 27 years in just a few minutes, praise God." And I said, "And that was God stirring in you because he wanted me to speak it, because he's taking you to the same level if you will let him." He said, "Glory to God. I could just about shout." I said, "Well, let it out." Let it out. We're out in the middle of a cow pasture. Just go ahead and let it out. The Bible says if we won't praise him, he'll cause the rocks to cry out. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, praise the Lord. You ain't no normal Christian. Some people, I think I'm going to change the way I say things, you know, in this manner when somebody said, What are y'all? What denomination are y'all? We were sinners. Well, what are y'all? Born again believers. We're redeemed. Don't matter what denomination. I can't find no denomination. People said, "Well, John was a Baptist." Are you serious right now? He was a baptizer. He was anointed.